Moncrief on News Talk.
Sam Simpson from Cork is a human rights monitor. Earlier this week, he met with some Irish politicians to relay what he has witnessed on the West Bank. Because while the world focuses on the Iran war stalemate, the problems on the West Bank seem to be getting worse. Sam, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Could you describe for us what does a human rights monitor do?
Well, the program I was with is called the Ecumenical Accompaniment Program. It's run by the Quakers in Ireland and England. And basically what you do is you get training so that you are trained to categorize. If you witness human rights violations, you can categorize them, you can file them, and you can send reports in. And they'll be used by the United Nations and any other international human rights organisations or aid organisations.
Okay, so in your training then, is there a list of what are defined legally, I suppose, as what are human rights and their violations?
You'd get the basic outline of international law, you know, and you get like drop down menus, so you'd file your report in whatever section, and then you'd give a brief outline of what you witnessed, you know?
Yeah. And so, where were you based in the West Bank?
I was based in Bethlehem, Sean, which is like, basically, it's in the West Bank, but it's very near Jerusalem, and it's half surrounded by a separation wall, which divides what's known as Israel and what's known as the West Bank of Palestine.
Yeah. And from there, then, did you and your colleagues have free movement through the area?
We were able to move around relatively freely, but you never knew when there'd be roadblocks or checkpoints. We were travelling to a lot of the villages. Like, the Bethlehem area covers an awful lot of land. Like, there'd be thousands and thousands of acres. And around Bethlehem, there'd be a lot of villages with, like, small farms and sheep herders and goat herders and, you know, just little villages. We'd visit a lot of those villages. But there were times when we couldn't visit because they were locked down for no apparent reason. Or sometimes, occasionally, we were locked into villages for the day. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You never knew what to expect.
Yeah. And so in the being there, did the Israeli authorities know you were human rights monitors? And you know, did they let you enter the area on that basis?
Going back a few years, Sean, the group we were with used to wear vests. As human rights monitors, that immediately identified us as international human rights observers. That used to provide protection for the people, the Palestinian people. And if the army were there, they would make sure that things were kind of kept a little bit in order, because they didn't want the international press or international organizations seeing what was going on. Unfortunately, the situation has changed there now. It's really gone like the Wild West there. We would never wear the vest. And anywhere we went, we had to kind of have a story, like we were tourists, you know.
Oh,
otherwise,
right.
There could be a phone call, and you could be arrested, and you could be deported straight away.
Yeah, and so how did you go about choosing what areas to visit?
Well, basically, there would have been a lot of communication between the villagers and between people on different groups. So, if an incident happened in the village, maybe there was a house demolition. Or maybe there was an invasion by settlers on the land, or someone was attacked, or someone was shot. We would get it on the WhatsApp groups, and we'd have a local driver and guide who would take us to where the incidents were happening or had happened recently.
And in general terms, Sam, what were you witnessing? Were you witnessing a kind of an encroachment, an increasing encroachment onto farms and villages that were owned by Palestinians?
That's the big story really at the moment, from what I witnessed and from what everyone else who was on the ground there said. The amount of land that is just being off limits now to the Palestinian people is incredible. Farmers all over the place, hundreds of them, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of acres of land where they can't access their land now. They can't bring their sheep. They can't harvest their crops. They're really being ethnically cleansed, and I use that word advisedly. It's happening, and it's happening very, very quickly.
Yeah.
But we would have also witnessed a lot of house demolitions. Like, there's a recent report that came out there that in an 11-year period, there was something like 66 housing permits given to Palestinian people across the West Bank In the same time, there were 22,000 housing permits given to the Israeli illegal settlements.
And you have a village or a farmer, and I assume, are they given any advance notice or much advance notice that we're going to, you know, this is going to be taken off you now? Or like, are those Palestinian families given, told, well, we're doing it under this law or for this reason?
There is no law in the West Bank anymore. What would happen before, a few years ago, the army might come and they might stick a bit of paper under a rock on a farmer's land. And that would be his notice that they were going to confiscate the land for a national park or for a firing range, or it was a closed military zone. Nowadays, what happens, and we saw this many, many times, a farmer could get up in the morning and he might see a flag, an Israeli flag, planted in his field. That meant the settlers had been there and they were basically saying, you can't come on this. It wouldn't be a field, but it might be a hillside, you know, where his land was. You can't come here anymore. If he went there, they'd be on their quad bikes that were given by the government, armed with their machine guns that were given to them by the Israeli government, and they'd hunt him off his land. And really very quickly and very easily, they're able to take over loads of land. And then they'd stick like a caravan or like a mobile home on the land. And then they'd have a water tank there, and they'd be there with their guns and their weapons. And, you know, they're taking over the land that way very, very quickly.
And would they tend to build on these pieces of land once they've seized them fairly quickly?
Well, it often starts with a flag, and then like a week or two later, there might be a mobile home, and then there might be another few mobile homes, and then there'll be a road, and then they'll start building. So you'll see a town basically appear on it. You could, in 2 years, you could see a town built on a bit of land. Like a farmer might own 100 acres, and he could have a town built on his land, and he can't go nowhere near it.
Yeah. The roads, who's building the roads? Are the settlers doing this themselves, or is there some sort of Israeli local authority doing that for them?
Both. They work together. So there's established settlements there, and they get a lot of funding. And the outposts, which is often run by like settler youth or just kind of the more extremist people, they spread the settlements. They spread from the settlements, and then you have joining roads, joining the little outposts, roads between the settlements, and the government funding that, yeah. And they're quite explicit and they're quite open about it, government ministers. And an Israeli government policy, which you can look up online, basically says, we claim the right for the whole of what they call Judea and Samaria, which is the West Bank, for the Israeli people, and we will develop the settlements.
And every time one of these settlements is established, where do the Palestinians go?
What's happening basically is they've been driven off the land, first of all. So the kind of rural farmers are being driven off their land. They're being driven into villages. A lot of these smaller villages are being kind of surrounded and encircled and attacked. So they're driving more and more of these small villages into the bigger towns, the bigger urban areas. So there's a plan out, and you can find it. It's not official government policy, but it's the reality on the ground, is that what's happening is more and more Palestinian people are being driven into like larger urban ghettos. So you'll have like a whole series of war. If it carries on, you'll have a whole series of like Warsaw ghettos across the West Bank, where Palestinian people are confined and corralled inside by checkpoints and gates.
Yeah. And will they be left there, or, you know, are there any indications that these settlers might want to start taking over urban areas as well?
Well, they're starting to take over the villages, the small villages, you know. The urban areas, like, say, for example, Bethlehem, which is a town of 30,000 people, and it's got a couple of adjoining towns, Beth-Sahor and Beth-Jala, they're all Christian villages. There's about 60,000 people in that urban area now. Before that would have been classed as Area A, which is officially it still is, and it would have been under the Palestinian Authority control. But now you're getting more and more incursions by the army. You wouldn't get the settlers going into urban areas of that size, but you would get the army going in. We just have to look at history, what happened to the Warsaw Ghetto. You know, they weren't left there in the end. You know what I mean? So you'd worry about what could happen.
And this supplanting, is it happening in some of the Christian areas in the West Bank as well?
It is. In Beth Sahor, which is a Christian village of about 15,000 people next to Bethlehem. They're just building a big new settlement there, and we watched the beginnings of that while we were there. So those people have been driven out of their land. And the Christian presence, which would have been about 20% of the Palestinian people going back 60 years or more, that's down to 1.5% now.
Because they fled the area altogether. Has the rate of this sped up in recent times?
It is increasing exponentially, Sean. It is just, it's like a snowball. It is just picking up pace, more and more and more pace. The people who were there 3 months before us, they said they couldn't believe how quick things were moving. And we said the same thing. I've been there in Palestine in 2016 and 2018. I kind of knew what to expect, but I was shocked at the speed and the pace of what's happening. The ethnic cleansing of the West Bank, of the whole of Palestine, if we don't do something, if our governments don't stand up and take action now, instead of just giving like clamassing and soft words and we condemn and we're very concerned and all that kind of stuff, if they don't start taking action, enact the Occupied Territories Bill for a start, you know, end the EU's special trading relationship with Israel until they comply with international law. If that kind of action isn't taken very quick, there will be the ethnic cleansing of the West Bank could be completed in a very short space of time.
Sam, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Sam Simpson there from Cork. And as you heard there, a human rights monitor just back from about a 3 month stint on the West Bank.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.